All right, Rabosai. Good morning. I'll do the sponsorship slogan. Today's daf is Chaf Vav. Today's daf is Chaf Vav, and we are picking up Emir Teshuvah, the Mishnah, on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. You have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. Our shir this morning, or this month, is sponsored by Yishurim. This month is sponsored by Yonah Shishi Ehrenfeld, in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Joseph Ehrenfeld, Yosef Ben Shimon Shmuel Aaron. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a Nechama. And I will say, with that, let's begin. Says the Mishnah, very, very interesting case today. Hareza, Harezo Timuras Ola Timuras Shlamin. So also listen to this interesting case. A person goes ahead and has a chulin animal, and next to the chulin animal, he goes ahead and he has an ola and a shlamim. And about the chulin animal, he says, let this animal be tumuras ola, tumuras shlamim. That was, and obviously, the animal cannot be both. Can't be both. So the shaila is, what do you do with this situation? Hareza tumuras ola, divi Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, Rabbi Meir Paskins, the animal is a tumuras ola. Why is it a tumuras ola? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, Tafas Lashon Rishon, that in general, again, we go ahead and, we take the first Lashon. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, well, it depends. Im Lachin Niskaven Tchila. So Rabbi Yossi says like this. Did the guy really mean to say, Hare Ze Tumuras Ola Tumuras Shlamin? In other words, maybe he really meant that. If indeed he really meant that, and he really wanted this animal to be both a Timuras Ola as well as a Timuras Shlamim, Hoyovi Afshalikros Be Shemos Ka'achos. But again, remember what I say. So really, ideally, in an ideal world, if this man, what he really wanted to do was to be able to say Hareze Timuras Ola, Hareze Timuras Shlamim simultaneously. He wanted to say both of those statements simultaneously. There's only one problem, which is, can't do that. Therefore, what? Ho will be Afshalikros Be Shemos Ka'achos Dvarav Kayomin. Rabbi Yossi says like this. We look at his intention. If his intention was indeed to make the animal Timuras Ola, Timuras Shlamim, then Einach Inami, the animal becomes vested with both Kiddushos. Now, what do you do with such an animal? Look at Rashi. Dvarav Kayomin. V'chatzya Timuras Ola. V'chatzya Timuras Shlamim. So we'll say, in Rabbi Yossi's worldview, what we look at over here is as follows. Here we'll say, when someone says, Hareze Timuras Ola Timuras Shlamim, there are two ways of understanding his statement. Either maybe he just got confused. In which case, and therefore, that's how Rabbi Meir seems to understand it. Or the truth is, Rabbi Meir just says, at the end of the day, once you say the first statement, anything that comes subsequent to that is irrelevant. So once you said, Hareze Timuras Ola, we're done here. Rabbi Yossi says, well, let's look at what his intention was. If his intention was really to ideally simultaneously make both of these statements, this animal should be a Timuras Ola and a Timuras Shlamim. But a human mouth can't say two things simultaneously, but we understand what his intention was. We indeed make the animal a Timuras Ola and a Timuras Shlamim. Says Rashi, what do you do with such an animal? Dvar of Kayamin. The Chetzi of Timuras Ola, the Chetzi of Timuras Shlamim. Half of the animal will be a Timuras Ola. Half of it will be a Timuras Shlamim. Vitira ache tistaiv. You allow it to graze until it develops a mum. Viti maker. Then you sell it. Fiyavi bidme Chetzi of Timuras Ola, ubidme Chetzi of Timuras Shlamim. So if you see that his intention was deemed to make the animal both, you let the animal graze, develop a mum, sell it off, use half of the proceeds to purchase an ola, half of the proceeds to purchase a shlamim. V'misha amar tmuras ola, nimlach va'amar tmuras shlamim. But if at the end of the day, first he said tmuras ola, and then he changed his mind to say tmuras shlamim, Hare ze tumuras ola. Then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that tafas lashon rishon, we accept his first statement and it becomes a tumuras ola. So essentially what we have over here is as follows. If it's clear that there was confusion or change of mind, everyone agrees that what? That you go after the first lashon. And when he says, Hare ze tumuras ola, Hare ze tumuras shlamim, the animal will be a tumuras ola. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two is Rabbi Yossi, or I should say Machlokas, was when Rabbi Yossi himself says, but if it's clear that his intention really was to make it both, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion you can make it both. What do we do? Let the animal graze, develop a mum, sell it off, use the proceeds half to purchase an ola, half to purchase a shlamim. Beautiful. Says the Gemara top of Chavav Amadalev. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim ba'omer tachol zu va'achakach tachol zu divri akol tafas lashon rishon. So we'll say, let's start with what we agree with. In a case where a person says, right, I say, just to frame the case over here, I have two sacrificial animals in front of me. An ola and the shlamin. I have one chulin animal in front of me. So I go and I go over to the chulin animal, I want to do tmura, and I say like this, the lashon is like this, let this animal first be a substitute, or let the kedusha of the ola devolve upon it, and then the kedusha of the shlamim devolve upon it. So I use this lashon, first an ola, then a shlamim. Everyone agrees that what? Tafas lashon rishon. But say everyone agrees that halacha l'maaseh, of course, in that case, tafas lashon rishon, and therefore the animal is vested with tumura, ola, sanctity. Next, lo sachol zu ela imkin chol sazu. We'll say, what about the following case? If I say the ola sanctity should only devolve upon the animal, if the shlamim sanctity devolves upon the animal, again, these are all tamura cases, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees, kachi, that halacha l'maaseh, again, that works. Since you're making ultimately, again, the ola kedusha dependent on the shlamim, therefore both devolve upon the animal. And apparently we would use Rabbi Yossi's model of allowing the animal to graze, develop a mum, sell it off, use half of the proceeds for ola, half of the proceeds for shlamim. Where do they argue? Lo nechluku ela kegon mishnasenu. Let's say they argue really in the case of our mishnah. What's the case of our mishnah? Da amar tumuras ola, tumuras shlamim. Rabbi said, do you hear the distinction in the lashon over here? You see, in a case where it's clear that a person says this and then that, everyone agrees that the second kedusha does not devolve upon the animal. For the simple reason, once the first kedusha devolves upon the animal, then what? There's no room for any other sacrificial holiness to devolve upon the animal. The question is, what happens if you don't use lashon of this, then that? Instead, remember, our mishnah is what? Tumuras ola, tumuras shlamim. You're just making a statement. This animal should be a tumuras ola, tumura for an ola, tumura for a shlamim. So what do you do in that case? Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir holds, Rabbi Meir says he could have said tumuras ola and shlamim, va'amar tumuras ola tumuras shlamim, havile ka'omer tachol zu va'achakach tachol zu. So Rabbi Meir understands that ultimately, again, if he wanted to somehow link the kedushas, he could have said tumuras ola ushlamim. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says tumuras ola tumuras shlamim. In Rabbi Meir's model, that's the equivalent of saying tachol zu ve'achakach tachol zu. First, this kedusha should devolve upon the animal. Then, this kedusha should devolve upon the animal. Which case we just said before that Rabbi Yossi, only the first one devolves upon it; the second one does not. For Rabbi Yossi will say as follows: tumuras ola ushlamim. If a person would say tumuras ola and shlamim, hava amina kidosha ve'ina kreva, I might have thought that what? I might have thought that ultimately, again, such an animal has sanctity, but cannot be offered up. Kamashbolan, that's not the case. Kamashbolan, that halacha l'maisa, that even in a case where it says tumuras ola, tumuras shlamim, ultimately, halacha l'maisa, the animal is vested with this dual sanctity, is left to graze, develops a mum, is sold, and halacha l'maisa, the proceeds split between ola and shlamim. Okay, so we'll say, so it's interesting about this approach in the Gemara over here is that apparently even Rabbi Meir would agree with the case of where he says, what was the lashon over here? Lo tachol zu, ela imkin chalsa zu. That if the ola consecration or the ola designation should not devolve upon the animal unless the shlamim one does. Apparently, even Rabbi Meir agrees that halacha l'maisa, such a dual sanctification will devolve upon the animal. So that's an interesting ha'ara in this Gemara. Okay, good. Says the Gemara. Back to Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, so again, just to be clear, looping it back to our Mishnah, We're focusing over here on one fundamental machlokes. A person says, Hare zutmuras ola tmuras shlamim. Rabbi Meir says, Halacha lamaisa, it is tmuras ola. Tafas lashon rishon. Rabbi Yossi says, it depends. If it's clear that he really wanted to articulate both lashonos, but one person, one human mouth, can't say two things at the same time, right? Only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do this. Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad ne'amru, right? But a man can't do it. So therefore, that's what he wanted to do. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, we will in fact vest the animal with both kiddushos, the tmura of an ola, tmura of a shlamim, sell it, let it graze, develop a mum, sell it off, split the proceeds. Good. Tan Rabbanan. Suppose now the Gemara goes weiter. So Tan Rabbanan. Ha'omer behema. We'll come to the halacha lemaisa in a little bit, but ha'omer behema zu chetzia tmuras ola, v'chetzia tmuras shlamim. I will say, if a person says this animal, half of it should be a tmuras ola, half of it should be a tmuras shlamim. So what's the halacha? Now, once again, remember, this case is different than the Mishnah's case. Why? What's being added in over here? The word chetzia. Here, a person is explicitly saying half. So I say half of the animal should be a tmuras ola, half of the animal should be a tmuras shlamim. So what's the halacha? Kula tikarev ola divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the entire animal is considered to be an ola. We'll say, what's the logic upon that? About that, because Rabbi Meir will hold, once you have part of the animal vested with ola sanctity, it spreads. So therefore, again, that sanctity overtakes the entire animal, leaving no room for any subsequent designation. The Chachamim say, let the animal graze until it develops a mum. Vitimaker, then you should sell it. V'yavi b'dmei chetzia tmuras ola, u'b'dmei chetzia tmuras shlamim. So we'll say, the Chachamim say, that Allah l'maisa, let it graze till it develops a mum. Sell it off. Half of the proceeds go to ola, half of the proceeds go to shlamim. I'm Rabbi Yossi. In l'kachnis kavin mitchila, Rabbi Yossi says like this, we try to figure out what were your intentions. If your intentions were to ideally articulate both of these statements simultaneously, but a human being can't do that. V'yaf shalahotzi shnei shemos ke'achos dvarav kayamin. So Rabbi Yossi says like this, if it's clear that this was your intention, so you're both saying, again, remember, when someone makes a mistake like this, we just have to ask them, is this what you really meant, or was this a mistake? If it's what you really meant, and ideally you would have liked to have said both of these statements simultaneously, but you cannot, then halacha l'maaseh, we look at his words as valid. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rabbi Yossi hain Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon are saying the same thing. Rabbi Yossi is saying the same exact shita. Rabbi Yossi was a bit more articulated it a bit more, or in a bit more, with a bit more clarity, but it's the same shita. They both hold that halacha lemaisa, you could have half tmuras ola, half tmuras shlamim. The animal set out to graze, develops a mum, sell it off, split the proceeds. To which the Gemara says, you're right. So kul Rabbi Yossi katanila. Ultimately, again, you're right. It's really all the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Just in the beginning, the Braisa called the shita of Rabbi Yossi the Rabbanon. But in Achinami, you're right, it is all the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Good. Another Braisa. Suppose they say machlokes. Tanya idach. Another Braisa. Behema, chatzya ola, v'chatzya chatos. If you have a behema that is half ola, half chatos. Right? Chatzya ola v'chatzya chatos. So kula tikarev ola. And I will say, This is not a tamura case. This is just a regular case. I have an animal, and I go ahead and I say it should be half ola, half chatos. I'm designating an animal as a karbon, but I make half of it a ola, half of it a chatos. What's the halacha? Kula tikariv ola div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the entire animal is offered up as an ola. What's the logic? Because once, according to Rabbi Meir, once you declare any one part of it to be an ola, that kedusha is nispashet, right? That kedusha ultimately spreads throughout the animal, and the entire animal is an ola. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tamos. Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately, again, we let the animal die. We let the animal die. Now, this is actually quite interesting. Why is that? Look at Rashi. Tamos, da'af bigmar dvarav adam nitbas. This is actually quite fascinating. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that we don't just say tafas lashon rishon. We don't automatically just accept the first lashon. Rather, what do? We accept all the shonos. Now watch this. What's happening in this case over here? I'm saying half of the animal should be an Ola, half of the animal should be a Chatos. Now I will say in Rabbi Yossi's worldview, we accept both Lashonos, first Lashon, second Lashon. Now, a very important detail in this case, which is, I am designating this animal as half Chatos. There's only one problem, which is, I am not Chayiv a Chatos. What happens if a person designates an animal as a Chatos and he's not Chayiv for a Chatos? This is the equivalent, ultimately, again, of Chatos Shemesu Bailov. This is the equivalent of a Chatos whose owners died, or for that matter, whose owners found a tomb with a different animal. And what do you do with that Chatos? You let it die. You let it die. Therefore, we'll say, interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Yossi will say that in this case over here, because this animal has half Chatos identity, and because I am not Chayiv in a Chatos, therefore, the animal is left to die. Quite amazing. V'shavin, but they will both agree, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, v'omer chetzya Chatos v'chetzya Ola shetamos. Rabbi Yossi, they both agree that what? That where I say chetzya chatos and chetzya ola, that it'll die. Right? Why, Rabbi Yossi? Because again, according to Rabbi Meir, it's going to die. Why? Why? Because the first thing I said was chatos. And Rabbi Meir holds tafas lashon rishon. And if I'm not chayiv a chatos, I can't offer it. And if I can't offer it, it's like a chatos whose ownerless chatos. Ownerless chatos is left to die. And of course, Rabbi Yossi will hold that it's left to die. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, whether you say chatos first or second, it endows the animal with at least some level of partial chatas identity. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, shavin money. So we'll say ultimately again, when we say that they both agree, who is that coming to include? Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, no, pshita. Or is obviously Rabbi Meir's in order. So remember again, if Rabbi Meir holds that the animal is going to be left to die, when you say chatas second, he'll certainly agree that it's going to be left to die when, if you say chatas first. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Ma'u detema, ilav da ashmo inon, hava amina, taimu deri meir la mishum tafos lashon rishon, ela hainu taimu, chatas mu'ureves kreva. Va'afilu ki amra chetzya chatas, va'hada amra chetzya ola, kreva. She will say, I might have thought that maybe according to Rabbi Meir, maybe an animal that has some element of chatas mixed into it, halacha l'maisa should be offered. Kamash will not know. Kamash also that if it has any element of chatas, even if it's not a full chatas, it cannot be offered up. Good. The Gemara says, Kamash l'ndalo. Tanya idach, another braisa. Amar behema zu chetzya ola, v'chetzya shlamim. What's another case? I say this animal should be half an ola, half a shlamim. So what's the halacha? Kidosha ve'ina kreva. So we'll say so again. What's the halacha? The halacha is that it is kaddish, but it's not offered. Right? So in other words, we'll say essentially what that means is it's vested with financial sanctity, right? Meaning, in other words, it has kiddusha, but it obviously cannot be offered up as a karban. Now we're going to define according to who that is. Ve'ose tmura. And this animal has the ability to affect tmura. Utmura so ki yotsebo. And the tmura is just like the original animal. To which the Gemara says, money, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yossi hi. It's Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, pshita dikdusha ve'ena kreva. So I say, if it's Rabbi Yossi, remember again, if it's Rabbi Yossi, so it's obvious that it's kaddish and it can't be offered up. Remember, it's such a Rabbi Yossi, because in Rabbi Yossi's model, we accept both Lashonos and Halacha L'maisa, the animal is a mixture of sacrificial sanctity. Because of that, Halacha L'maisa, something can't be mixed up. To which the Gemara says, oh, Tmurasa itstarichle. The truth is, the novelty over here is regarding its Tmura animal. So what did we just say? If you go ahead and you take an animal and you say, this is not the original case is not Tmura. I go over to a regular Chulin animal and I say, Chulin animal, half of this animal is for Ola, half of this animal is for Shlamim. So what did the Braisa say? It's sanctified, but it cannot be offered up as a Karban. Whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, that's obvious. Why do you have to tell me this? We know Rabbi Yossi Shita, right? Rabbi Yossi holds that halacha l'maisa, we have to pay attention to both Lashonos, the first one as well as the second one. So what's the Chiddush? To which the Gemara says, the Chiddush is the Tmura. Because what did the Braisa say about the Tmura? If you have an animal and you made it half Ola, half Shlamim, so what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said you can make a Tmura, and the Tmura has the same status as, we call it the original animal. To which the Gemara says, "Demal detema nihi delo karva tumurasa tikarev." So you say, I'm going to thought like this. Even though the original animal cannot be offered up, why? Because it has a mixture of ola and shlamim sanctity. I would have thought that maybe the tamura becomes like a pure breed, like a carbonic pure breed. Maybe the tamura becomes like one of the two, but not a mixture of both. Kamash malon no. Kamash on that halacha lamaisa, that's not the case. Maishnohi dolo karva. We'll say, why is it that the original animal cannot go ahead and be offered up? Because it has literally, again, what we call, bless you, kedusha dechuya. We'll say kedusha dechuya means a compromised kedusha or a set aside kedusha. Tumura sanami mikoach kedusha dechuya kaasya. The tumura also comes from, we'll say, since with the Gemara saying over here, is highlighting a concept that we know, but that is kedai to review, which is the tumura animal is an extension of the original animal. And just like the nature of the original animal's kedusha is that it cannot be offered up because it is a carbonic mixture, so too the tumura cannot be offered up as well. Good. Weiter. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also another very interesting case. Behemah shel shnei shutvim. Listen to this. Reuven and Shimon own an animal jointly. And now what happens? Hikdish chatzya shalo v'chazar v'loka chatzya acheres v'kedisha. Also listen to this interesting case. Reuven is makdish his half. Can Reuven do that? Of course. Of course. And I remember again, if you're makdish your half, what are you doing? That's financial sanctity. Right? That's not kedusha sakuf, that's financial sanctity. So Reuven is makdish his half. Then what does he do? He buys out Shimon from the partnership. Now Reuven owns the other half, and he subsequently makdish the second half. What's the status of the animal? Kedusha ve'ena kreva. So I'll say, halacha lemaisa, it's kaddish, it's holy, but what? Cannot be offered up as a karban. Look at Rashi, last Rashi in the daf ve'ena kreva. Hoil umitchila, listen to this. Since from the beginning, kishahekdish chatzia lo ha'isaroya likarev. To lo kachi lechatzia. So I'll say, since when Reuven was makdish, the first 50%, his initial ownership interest. So remember again, what kind of kedusha was that? That ultimately, again, is physical sanctity. Right? Why? Why? Because ultimately, again, when he was makdish his first half, it would not have been possible for him to offer it up. Right? Reuven didn't have the ability to offer it up because he only owned 50% of the animal. Even if you go with the approach that generally when you're makdish a piece of something, the kedusha spreads throughout the item. That's only when, if you own it. If you don't own it, you cannot go ahead and be makdish something that does not belong to you. So when Reuven is makdish 50% of his jointly owned animal, the way that kedusha manifests is in one of financial sanctity. Therefore, even though he goes ahead and he subsequently buys the other 50%, the physical sanctity does not devolve upon the animal. You'll see why in just a moment. So Rabbi Yosef Siddi Gemara says, Voset tmura, but this animal does have the ability to make a tmura. Utmurasa amadeis, utmurasa kiyotseba. But ultimately, again, the tmura animal is just like the original animal, which is a way of saying what Rabbi Yosef, that the kedusha animal will also possess physical sanctity, financial sanctity, but cannot be offered up as a karban. Shma mina tlas. So the Gemara says, by the way, we learned three very important lessons from this. What are they? Shma mina, kedushas damim nidche. So also what we learn from this ultimately again is that halacha lemaisa, that when something has a financial sanctity, it cannot ultimately again graduate to a level of physical sanctity. Take a look at Rashi. Kedushas damim nitcha or matcha. Hamakdish pemul adamim b'shashen ru'ya legufa. If one is makdish an animal with financial sanctity at a time when the animal was not fit for physical sanctity. We'll say that's this case. Reuven and Shimon own the animal jointly. Reuven can be makdish his part, but he cannot be makdish his part legufa. He can't be makdish with physical sanctity because he doesn't own the animal. So all he could do is endow it with financial sanctity. In that case, he goes halcha. Dechi akdish al apalga lo akach al adami umatchilei mimizbeach liolam. And I've also said what you learn from here is the following: that once something has been endowed with financial sanctity, it is forever precluded from being endowed with financial sanctity. In other words, once you have Kiddushas Damim, right? Did I say that wrong? Right? Once you have Kiddushas Damim, once you have financial sanctity, you cannot graduate to physical sanctity. Good, so that's number one. Shamina, Kiddushas Dam Nincha. So I said, lesson number one is that Allah Lamaisa, once you have physical sanctity, you cannot graduate to financial sanctity. Shmamina, Baalei Chaim Nidchin. Rabosai, number two, what else do we learn? Is that Halacha Lamaisa, once a particular animal is not fit for sacrificial service, it can never be used for sacrificial service. Now again, that's still an extension of the first lesson as well, which is that Halacha Lamaisa, once this animal was vested with financial sanctity, that animal itself ultimately again can never graduate to the level of physical sanctity. And I will say again, what that's saying is it's a din. See, the first halacha ultimately again is a din in hegdish. The second halacha is a din in the cheftza of the animal. So that even if that animal is subsequently sold to someone else, once that animal ultimately again could not be used for the mizbeach, it could never be used for the mizbeach. Now, we'll say, now the truth is a lot of these concepts are subject to dispute because it's not necessarily true. You could have a case of Baalei Chayim Nidchin, for example, a case of an animal that has a mum, and the mum heals. When the mum, even though when the animal has a mum, it cannot be used for the mizbeach. When the mum heals, it can be used for the mizbeach. So again, these concepts are subject to some level of qualification. Ushmamina, dichui meikaro, havi dichui. Rabbi said, what else do you see from here? That halacha lemaisa, any disqualification that begins at the outset ultimately again remains. Rashi says, "Dichui meikara kigonzu shemetchilas hakdasha nitchis." Like in this case of Rabbi Yosef, where from the beginning of the consecration process, the animal was nitcha, have a dichui. Ultimately, again, that disqualification remains forever. Once you start out disqualified, you are forever disqualified. Uplug tihi diikal mandamer nira v'nitcha shuvein achoze v'nira. Aval dichui meikara lo havi dichui. So we'll say this concept of dichui meikara, if something is set aside for non-use, does it become set aside forever? Is subject to machlokes. So from here, the Gemara is saying, based on this case of the Baalei Chaim owned by Shutfin, we're saying once something is nitche from the beginning, it can never become usable again. So we'll say, so Baruch Hashem, that you know, that's a life machlokes also. Nitche meikara, have a dichoy or not. So we'll say, if something is set aside for non-use, is it forever set aside for non-use? What a scary thought that the halacha follows. That because you could imagine again the ramifications that has for us. At some point in time, every human being is in the status of nidcha, right? Is set aside for non-use, compromised because of ultimately the mistakes that I've made. So Baruch Hashem will say, the good news is that in many, many, many cases, we do not hold a dichui meikara havi dichui, right? Many times, sometimes there is, sometimes again, if you're nidcha, you're nidcha, but Baruch Hashem, many other cases in halacha, we hold dichui meikara lo havi dichui. Good. Amar Abayi, hakol movdim. Everyone agrees. Heichad da amar chatzia ola vechatzia meiser. There was. Now we're transitioning a little bit. In this case over here, what's happening? You're saying half of the animal should be ola, half of the animal should be meiser. Now we'll say this is talking about over here meiser behema. Meiser behema. Meiser behema. So remember again, the case of Maaser Behemah, of course, is, well, let's read it. So everyone agrees that where he says, half the animal should be an Ola, half the animal should be Maaser Behemah, Divrei Hakol, Ola Kreva. Well, so everyone agrees that, listen to this, that the animal is an Ola, and that what? It can be offered up. Then I'm both saying, now what's the reason for that? Because saying that something is Maaser doesn't even make sense. Why? Because it will say becoming Maaser Behema is a function of counting off animals. Right? So to say that animal is Maaser Behema, we'll say that is a nonsensical statement. Therefore, Halacha L'Maaseh, because it's nonsensical, it's essentially as if what? It's never been made. And therefore, we just simply look at the animal as an Ola animal. Right? If you look at Rashi says over here, Chatzi Ola v'chatzi Maaser Divrei Hakol Ola Kreva. afilu niskaven mitchila lekach. The lochashiva milsa basrai samidi. The second statement that the animal should be, meiser is irrelevant. Why? The Gemara says the ain meiser kadosh ki agav ne ela derech minyan. Meiser can only be established when counting off animals. V'yehehu asiri. Guadinami amar chatsi olu v'chatsi atimura. Loch asr vose, fine. The Gemara goes weiter. Heichad amar chatsi atimura v'chatsi meiser. What happens if a person says half of the animal should be a tmura, half of the animal should be meiser? The Rebbe said, and I remember again, over here in this case, what's happening? It's not like there's another sacrificial animal over here that I'm substituting it for, right? So I'm making a statement, the animal should be half tmura, half meiser. What's the status? So the Gemara says, chatzia tmura, chatzia meiser, mai. Do we say on one hand, tmura kreva, shekeinu hagis b'chala kachim? On one hand, could it be offered up as a tmura, since at the end of the day, what? Since at the end of the day, there is a concept of tmura by other karbanos. Ol dilma maise kruva shekein makdash lefanav ulachrav. Or maybe we should offer it up as a maiser behema. Why, Rabosai? Because maiser is pretty powerful. Why is maiser behema pretty powerful, Rabosai? Because remember, we stated this case many, many times. Maiser is so powerful, that's what? That even if you call 9-10 and 11-10, they're what? They're vested with some level of Meiser Behema holiness. Maybe therefore that's enough to cause this designation to work. Therefore the Gemara says, Teku. Mars will have to leave this here, Yohanavi. So what do you, so we'll say, so again, the case that's clear is where you say half of it should be a Ola, half of it should be Meiser. That apparently is clear to everyone that Halacha L'Maiser, the animal is Ola. The Meiser statement is irrelevant. Half Tmura, half Meiser. That's the Teku case. Fine. So also, I'll tell you the Halacha L'Maiser on this. I just want to be careful because normally when I do this, it knocks me out of the recording. So let me make sure that doesn't happen. I'll tell you the Halacha L'Maiser afterwards. All right. We'll have to... Okay, this is going to be part two of the recording. Good Teku. So we'll say it's the Mishnah. So again, I owe you the Halacha. I don't know. It must be something on my phone. I'm sorry. It's Rambam. It's Perek Beis. Perek Beis. Hilchos Tmura Halacha Dalet. Beis Dalet Tmura. Thank you, Hashim. All right, we'll begin the Mishnah meanwhile. So Hari Zu Tachas Zu. So we'll say this is actually incredible. So in this Mishnah, by the way, what are we getting to? We're getting into the Halachos of Tmura. This is great. Right? It's Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, right? And now, by the way, in case you're wondering, how do you make an animal a Tmura? Funny you should ask. Right? The Mishnah goes ahead and discusses. And I will say, now the truth is, what we're getting into over here is the specific verbiage for making an animal a Tmura. Hare Zu Tachas Zu. Tmuras Zu'ah. We'll say, here's the Halacha. Just you hear it. Ha'omer zutmuras ola ushlamim. Thank you. Dvarav kayamin. So we'll say if a person says as follows. This I'm just going back to the last sugya. Person says this animal should be a tmuras ola ushlamim. Ola and shlamim. Dvarav kayamin. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi passes like Rabbi Yossi, right? And therefore we'll say, what do you do? But how could an animal be a tmura and a shlam? So what do? You go ahead and you sell it off. Right, and split the proceeds. V'timacher, let it graze, devalbamum, sell it, use half of the money for an ola, half of the money for shlam. So we'll say, very important. So Halacha L'Maisa, in the Mishnah, when you say tmuras ola ushlamim, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Amar hareze tmuras ola utmuras shlamim. We'll say, if a person used the double ushan of here, tmuras ola. So remember, if you say ola ushlamim, the truth is, it's not like Rabbi Yossi. Actually, everybody agreed in that case, according to the Gemara. So to ola and shlamim, it takes on both qualities, let it graze, develop a mum, sell it off, split the proceeds. What happens if he says ola tmura utmura shlamim? So then we ask what his intention was. Im this kavin l'kach mitchila dvar of kayamin. So we'll say, if that was really his intention for the animal to be vested with both kedushos, like Rabbi Yossi, then indeed it works. So we'll say, Salach Lamais like this. Under normal circumstances, if you say, Tumuras Ola Ushlamim, or if you meant to say, Tumuras Ola Utumuras Shlamim, you want it to be both, if you want it to be both, the halacha is, it works. And the tmura animal is vested with both ola and shlamim kedusha. Let it graze, develop a mum, sell it off, and split the proceeds. If, however, you made a mistake, if ever you made a mistake. And at the end of the day, you wanted to say, right? You wanted to say Tumuras Ola, but then you made a mistake and you said Tumuras Shlomim. Halacha l'maisa, we say that what? That it's a Tumuras Ola. Tafas Lashon Rishon, right? We look at the first Lashon. Even though what was now, the Chiddush over here is, even if you made your correction, Toch Kedei Dibor. Now remember again, under normal circumstances, Halacha goes ahead and accepts any mistake, corrected Toch Kedei Dibor. Right? You pick up your coffee, you say, Brachat HaShal Kerem Alecha Motzi Lecha Minu Haaretz, Shakon Li Ebedvaro, right? You're okay. You're okay. Rambam Paskin's over here that is not the case. In this situation over here, Halacha L'maisa, if you meant to say Tumuras Ola, right, and then you just made a mistake afterwards, said Tumuras Shlomim, even if Tumuras Shlomim, would bless you, was said Toch Kedei Dibor, Tafas Lashon Rishon. Good. Beautiful. So Rabbi said, that's the halacha. Good. Says the Mishnah, Harei Zu Tachas Zu. So Rabbi said, if a person, again, remember the case over here is, I have a sacrificial animal, I have a chulin animal, I say, let the chulin animal be instead of the sacrificial animal. Tachas Zu. Under this. Tumuras Zu. Or the chulin animal should be a tumura for this. Chalifas zu, in exchange for this, hare zu tumura. We'll say these are all the shonos of tumura. So tachas, tumura, chalifas. Right? All these are proper the shonos of exchange. So the Gemara says, zu mechuleles al zu. But if I say this is mechuleles, mechula, what's the chulin? Deconsecrated. Good. If this is deconsecrated, right? Dikimechulelas, right? Chulin. If this becomes deconsecrated on this, ein zo tamura. So we'll say, it's very interesting. That's not a lashon of tamura. Why not? Because we'll say, that's actually a lashon of pidyon. That's a lashon of redemption, as we're going to see. It doesn't work for tamura. Ein zo tamura. Vimhaya hekdish balmum. But I'll say, if lemais, again, the animal that you're discussing over here was a balmum, Yotze lechulin, v'tzarach lasotam. So it's actually very interesting. So remember again, the lashon of mechuleles, of deconsecrating, is not a lashon that affects tamura. But if the sacrificial animal is a balmum and cannot be offered up, and use the lashon of mechuleles on the chulin animal, then in fact the sanctity will be transferred to the chulin animal. Because Rabosai, remember again, by a balmum, there's an element of pidyon, right? There is an element of redemption. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, you would redeem ultimately, again, the balmum onto the chulin animal. What the Mishnah just adds in over here is a very important qualification. What happens if the chulin animal is worth less than the current sacrificial animal? You have to make up that difference in the payment to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi say, therefore, what the Mishnah teaches me is like this. The lashonos of tachas, tamura, chalifas are all proper lashonos of tamura. Michuleles does not work. Where does michuleles work? If ultimately, again, the sacrificial animal was a balmum, in which case it has to be redeemed, michuleles is a good lashon of redemption. Not a lashon of tamura, but a good lashon of redemption. So if you have a balmum animal, and you say this animal should be michuleles on this chulin animal, that redemption will work, but if the chulin animal is worth less then the Kodesh animal, then halacha l'maisa, you must pay the difference to the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful. L'memra de tachas lishna dat fusehu. So you're telling me then that tachas, Rabbi say, is a lashon of atfuse, that ultimately, again, that tachas works for tamura, the tachas affects tamura. Is that true? Or minu, harei zekasha. Kodshe bedek habayis. So we'll say when it comes to, remember, kachi ve'da kavayis refers to items that have financial sanctity. Items that have financial sanctity, amar chalifas zu, tumuras zu, lo amar klum. We'll say, so remember again, the interesting part about kachi ve'da kavayis is that what? They can be redeemed for any reason. Or we'll say, unlike a carbon, right, if you have a sacrificial animal, you can't redeem that animal unless what? Unless it has a mum. Right, you can't do that. Kachi bedek habayis are different. If you have something that has financial sanctity and you want to redeem this for that, you absolutely can do that, even if the first item is totally usable, totally fine. So the Bryce over here is saying like this. I have an item that has bedek habayis sanctity, financial sanctity. And I say, you know what? Chalifas zu, temuras zu. I say, let this second unconsecrated item be in exchange for the first one, or a temura for the first one. Lo amar klum. Those statements are meaningless. Why, Rabbi? So why are they meaningless? Because going back to what we learned before, temura, the concept of temura, does not apply to bedek habayis. Temura only applies to sacrificial items, not to bedek habayis items. Therefore, if you use a lashon of temura by bedek habayis items, your statement is meaningless. However, zu mechuleles al zu devarav kayamin. But I will say, watch this. If you take an item that is vested with bedek habayis sanctity, and you take another chulin item, and you say what? The bedek habayis item should be mechuleles, deconsecrated. Deconsecrated, ultimately, again, on this, right? On this, I'm sorry, I skipped. Tachas zu, mechuleles al zu, devarav kayamin. But Rabbi said, if you go out and you take a chulin item, and you say this chulin item should be tachas, the bedek habayis item, or this chulin item should be mechuleles for the bedek habayis item, guess what? It works. We'll say, what did you just show over here? You just showed over here that the word tachas, lashon of tachas, works for bedek habayis. But if you're going to tell me that tachas, what do we just say? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said tachas is a lashon of what? Temura. If tachas is a lashon of temura, Rabbi said, then how could it work for bedek habayis? After all, again, the concept of temura. Doesn't apply to bedek habayis. Visa dait chalishna dat fusehi. And if you want to say that tachas is a lashon of temura, maishna reisha umaishna seifa. Ultimately, we'll say, then what is going on over here? If ultimately, again, tachas works for temura, then how could it work for bedek habayis? Amar abaye, tachas mashkachas la lishna dat fusei velishna da'achule. Abaye says, you're right. At the end of the day, tachas, actually, Rabosa, is the one lashon that has multiple usages. It is a lashon of temura, and it is also a lashon of deconsecration. Rabosa, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem, where we see the lashon working both ways. Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. With every word.